chapter 12. And we'll continue to worship our God as we learn the character that he desires us to have, that's reflected through him and all his actions. I struggle to know how to read this. I try and picture myself how Paul might have been, his character, and how he might have read it. So just bear with me if I change my tone a little bit through it. Love in action. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay evil. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on their head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Thank you to those who are new and been up the front here, the young ones involved this morning. I thought I'd sit over amongst the young ones this morning. But Catherine reminded me that, well, if she's old and tired, what am I? Ancient. Yeah, thanks for that. It's easy to talk about God's love, because there's nothing like God's love. God's love is from everlasting to everlasting. It's new every morning, and there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. It's easy to talk about the love of God. It's not so easy to love like God loves, because our love tends to be conditional. Our love tends to be transactional. We tend to love so that we're loved in return. Even husbands and wives married for over 50 years get grumpy with one another when one doesn't do what the other expects that the first one should have done, because there's been this expectation. Obviously somebody's relating to this. The other doesn't fulfil the wishes or the needs or the desires of the first, and so our love tends to be transactional. We love because we want to get love in return. But true love lays down their life for the other. True love, reflecting God's love, is faithful, is persevering, is forgiving, as it keeps no record of wrongs. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. Puts others' needs before one's own. Very familiar with 1 Corinthians 13, Paul's definition or explanation of what love is and what it looks like. Jesus said, "Greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends." Greater love. And we may not be called to die for our friends, But we are called to put aside our wants and desires as we serve the needs of one another. So in a sense, we die to self. We die to our own wants and desires. Last week, Faye spoke from the beginning of Romans 12. And we're reminded that God is in us. God is in us. And he is transforming us to be more like him. And the reason that we love is because he first loved us. And we want to love him in return for the wonder and the depth of his love for us. Because we've become aware of how much he loves us, we want to love him in return. And so Paul goes on to now describe what a transformed heart looks like. If God is in us and he's transforming us, what does that look like? How is a Christian meant to love if we are to love like God loves? Back in 1965, some of us were born then, there was a song that was released, "What the World Needs Now Is Love, Sweet Love." And the chorus goes on to say, "It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Not just for some, but for everyone." And we've been transformed, you and I have been transformed to be love in our world. We're being transformed to be Christ. Right where he has placed you, you are to be love, be Christ. Paul says, love must be sincere. That is, our love must be free from hypocrisy, pretense, hidden agendas. So our love must be genuine, heartfelt commitment to others. And this kind of love is not an act or a performance, but a true reflection of the heart. What's going on in here? The transformation that God's making happen within us. And love that is sincere is shown through tangible actions, serving the Lord, being patient in tribulation, in sharing with those in need, in practicing hospitality, and in blessing those who persecute us. True love has legs on it. Now, if you link Paul's admonition that love must be sincere with at least what was my take-home point from Margaret Pashley 2 weeks ago, that our attitude should be that of, here am I, Lord, use me, then if you link those two things together, what am I doing to love others rather than living to please myself? How am I allowing God to direct and use me to practically love others? What have I done this week to serve somebody else? What have you done this week to serve somebody else? To be love? Do I demonstrate a purity in my love that is sincerely driven for their well-being? How well do I love others? How well do you love others? See, Paul's admonition comes off the back of his previous words, reminding us that God is transforming us to be like him, and he is love. So we can't manufacture this kind of love on our own. It requires surrender, dying to self so that Christ may live through us. For God is in us. We focus on Jesus and we spend time looking at him and in God's word, examining, getting to know Jesus more and more, appreciating his heart and his character, and he begins to transform our hearts to be more like his, and we live like him. We live like him when he transforms us. And so we pray, and we pray like David. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Father, would you teach me to love with sincerity, with sincere heart. We take a moment in prayer. Father, we do ask that you would indeed search our hearts. Would you search me? For you know my heart, but would you test me? Know my anxious thoughts. Father, would you see the offensive ways within me and lead me in your way? Your way is everlasting. Father, would you teach me and would you help me to love the way that you love with sincerity? So continue to lead us now as we continue to spend time in your word, by your spirit. We thank you. Amen. To love without hypocrisy or driven from self-seeking reward, Paul then goes on in verse 9 to say, hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Hate what is evil. Do we tolerate things that we know don't honour God? Or are we not thinking pure thoughts, wholesome thoughts, true, right, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy thoughts? Do we truly hate what is evil or do we pursue it? Do we accept it? Or do we cling, attach ourselves and hang on to that which is good and we resist temptation? You see, we cannot truly love God whilst tolerating what he hates. We cannot truly love God whilst we tolerate what he hates. For our love to be truly authentic and honouring to the one that we say we worship, it cannot be shaped by the shifting sands or the shifting morals of our world. Instead, it must be defined by God himself. And if our love for others is to be sincere, free from hypocrisy and hidden agenda, then that only happens as we cling to what is good. If our love for God is sincere, then our love for others might then also be sincere. Paul then says in verse 11, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour, serving the Lord. This is all about keeping your love for the Lord going, your stoking the fire, about keeping the flame alight, about not letting the distractions of the world cause that slow fade to occur and the light to begin to just flicker out. Paul says, be serving the Lord. By serving the Lord, you will keep your spiritual fervour. And many a Christian has found that their love for God has diminished as they've not looked for ways to serve him or to serve others, because they become isolated. Life becomes all about them and their zeal for God wavers. Serving the Lord keeps the fire burning. I want to encourage you to find ways to serve the Lord. But further, to keep your spiritual fervour, verse 12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Again, this is both for our benefit and for the benefit of those that we serve. We're using our spiritual resources to fan the flame to bless others. We've already heard those words this morning. We're blessed to be a blessing. As we face the troubles of our circumstances and our world, we hold on to the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, which grants us patience and draws us into prayer, trusting in the goodness of our Father. Be joyful, be patient, be prayerful. Keep the spiritual fervour. Keep it fanning the flame. Now, love that is sincere moves beyond superficial interactions into a deep, God-honouring love. Jesus described sincere love in this way. He said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength, and love your neighbour as you love yourself. And if you love with all of your heart and soul and mind and strength, then it's not half-hearted. It's genuine and it's all-encompassing. If God is in us and we are becoming more like Jesus, then we will follow his example. And he lived for the well-being of others. You know, Jesus sought to gain nothing of earthly value all the days that he walked on this earth. He sought to gain nothing of earthly value. He sought only that which was of eternal worth. And thus he lived to serve his Father and serve us, serve you. And so sincere love reaches out to and lifts up others. That's what Jesus did. Sincere love has legs on it. Thus Paul says in a number of different ways, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, honour one another above yourselves, share with God's people who are in need, practice hospitality, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Real love puts others first. Honour one another, be devoted to one another. I wonder, is there someone that you have that you have no intention of honouring? Is there someone whom you don't really want to help or support? Are you devoted to God's church and to seeing it built up for the glory of God, or do you tear it down and you're quick to criticise? Bless and do not curse. Sincere love for other human beings is not just about our brothers and sisters either, it's actually for our enemies. Bless those who persecute you. And that's what Jesus did. And during the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Reflecting what the Father does and who he is, his character. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be mature, be spiritually mature, be complete, forgive one another, forgive others when they hurt you, and seek to bless them just as your heavenly Father does, and you will be his child, reflecting his love. And of course, love that is sincere seeks to empathise with others, to feel what they are feeling, thereby walking the journey of life right beside them. Verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. Sincere love means that you seek to be truly present, to be in the moment, to be empathetic. And Paul makes no suggestion that being a Christian is a walk in the park, that it's all going to be cruisy, that it's going to be easy for us. Theologian James Edwards, in his commentary on Romans, he said this, like everybody else, Christians live in a world twisted by disparities between ideals and double standards, success and failure, friend and foe, life and death. We rejoice and we mourn. And the evidence of this broken world, well, brokenness is everywhere, in suffering, injustice and spiritual decay. But just because this is the world that we live in and it's full of pain and sin, it doesn't mean that we're excused from compassion. A hardened heart is not a righteous heart. How hard is my heart? How hard is your heart? Even as we experience mountaintops of spiritual blessings in Christ, we must never look down on those who remain lost in sin and they're struggling under the weight of this fallen world. Sincere love seeks to understand, to walk alongside, to extend compassion. And sincere love is demonstrated by the peacemaker. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God." And Paul echoes these words from verse 17. "Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it's written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord. But on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. As far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone." Peacemakers are God's children. As we leave justice in God's hands. You see, when we pursue justice or revenge, we do so from a position of self-interest and often vindictiveness. God's justice, however, is holy, is pure, and is untainted by sinful motives, whereas human anger often leads to unrighteousness. Thus, we're called to leave justice to God and always seek to be peacemakers, actively working to reflect God's love, even in the face of wrongdoing. We seek to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. And we are kind to our enemy. We turn the other cheek. We forgive. We choose the path of grace. Now, in our humanness, however, we struggle to love like this, don't we? If sincere love means doing all that we can for the well-being of another, then sometimes we justify ourselves, we justify our inaction because, well, sometimes love needs to be tough or hard in order for us to help wake them up to themselves. There's such a thing as tough love. And maybe that's true. However, we need to ask that question, or of that question, is our inactivity in conflict with what is good, what is keeping your spiritual fervour alive, what is reaching out to and lifting up others, and what is being empathetic and compassionate and being a peacemaker? Or is our failure to serve another due to apathy? That we really don't care. And so Paul spells out what a transformed heart seeking to sincerely love others, what it looks like. What God is seeking to do to transform us to be like Jesus. But once again, love that is sincere is not something that we can manufacture. It's something that we receive and we reflect, which all starts at the cross. Jesus Christ demonstrated the ultimate act of sincere love when he laid down his life for us. His love was not self-serving. His love was not given for recognition, reward, or convenience. It was not transactional. It was not about comfort, but all about sacrifice. It was a love that bore our sins, enduring the weight of our shame, and poured out in blood and agony so that we might be saved. Jesus died to self, and we are called to die to self. And as we die to self, we reflect his love and we glorify our Father. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Not just for some, but for everyone.